Hi guys, welcome to another episode of IPL Unpod. I am your host Ujjwal. We have an exciting episode coming up, but before that, let me introduce you to the other participants of the show. As always, we have Shantanu, and making his debut is Amit Banerjee. So welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, Shantanu. Good to be back today.
Welcome to both of you. Sometimes you're not sure how a debutant would perform, but we are confident Banerjee is going to bring in something new. He's a proper cricket romantic, so looking forward to that. Now talking about IPL, we had another week of great action, but another week where top teams are just not willing to qualify for the playoffs. I mean, with exception to Mumbai, they have already qualified. But DC and RCB are still in the second and third position, but yet not qualified for the playoffs. But also a week where teams from the bottom half fought very hard to stay in contention. Unfortunately, Kings XI Punjab's campaign is over. They lost to Chennai Super Kings on Sunday. CSK finished their campaign with 12 points, so a respectable end to the tournament for them. The race is also over for Rajasthan Royals after they lost to Kolkata Knight Riders. Kolkata Knight Riders began their Sunday match placed at 8th in the points table. Now they are up to 4th, so their hopes are also alive. We have two more league games left. Delhi Capitals taking on Royal Challengers Bangalore on Monday, and then we have Sunrisers Hyderabad playing Mumbai Indians. None of them are dead rubbers. Before I bring in both Shantanu and Banerjee and we start discussing our news points, we will just take a small look at the table and the possible scenarios. Mumbai have already qualified. They lead the table. Royal Challengers, DC, they play each other. They are second and third, respectively. The winner from that match will obviously go to the playoffs and join Mumbai Indians. Then we have SRH taking on MI. SRH, they have their qualification in their own hand because they have a superior net run rate to Kolkata Knight Riders. If they win that game, they should easily go through. But if Mumbai Indians defeat SRH that day, then whoever loses in the match of DC and RCB, that team as well as Kolkata Knight Riders would also go to the playoffs. So I think I have got the whole scenarios covered. But if I have not, please Shantanu and Banerjee pitch in with if I have missed out anything on the scenarios. And if you guys are okay with it, then I would then go on to our first news point, which is also the match on Monday, that is the Delhi Capitals versus Royal Challengers Bangalore. So the thing with the Delhi Capitals and Royal Challengers Bangalore is that both the teams have been in the top half of the table for a very long time. And it looked like at one point of time in the tournament, it looked like they would qualify for the playoffs with a week at least remaining. But we are almost at the end of the IPL league stage and they have yet not qualified. Something has gone wrong somewhere. Delhi Capitals at one point had won 7 out of their 9 matches. I mean, easily they were looking like the team which would finish as table toppers. RCB also equally looked very strong and they were in a great form, but not anymore the same for them. We would preview the game, definitely, the Monday game, Delhi Capitals vs. RCB. But before that, we will look at the problems these teams are facing individually. So we will start with Delhi Capitals. They have lost their last 4 matches. That was against Kings XI Punjab, Kolkata Knight Riders, Sunrisers Hyderabad, and Mumbai Indians. Shantanu, here I would like to bring you in because you have always filled in as a temporary, how should I say, a Delhiite. I mean, I know you are from Lucknow, but because you are residing in Delhi, you have always filled in as that Delhi fan, Delhi expert, and obviously someone who keenly follows the sport. What do you exactly think has gone wrong? I mean, we spoke about this in the last episode also. Maybe they peaked a little too early. There are different points, but one thing where I would like your opinion, apart from what obviously you think about it, is do you think that they are now paying the price of having a too young core, in the sense now in the pressure situation, they are probably just not able to deal with it.
Yeah, perhaps you are right there, because see, I think the problem here is lack of momentum, and we keep talking a lot about momentum when teams do well. You know, we saw it with Kings XI Punjab, their 4 wins on the trot, and we are seeing exactly the opposite with Delhi Capitals. They have lost 4 on the bounce, and those have been big losses. I think the last match they lost was by 9 wickets to Mumbai Indians. So when a team goes through such a patch, I mean, and keep losing matches like that, you can well imagine the dressing room atmosphere. You can well imagine the general, you know, confidence levels within the team. So for a team that young, and for a team that has not been in these positions before, I mean, in top four consistently and having to defend their position in top four consistently, their inexperience, I would say, is showing. And they're just not used to be, you know, considered title favorites or, you know, contender to be in top four. So could be that that pressure is there somewhere, and which is quite strange, because, you know, in previous seasons we have seen, I think it was last season or last to last, when Delhi actually made it to the playoffs and everybody was quite gung-ho, okay, all right, there, finally their fortunes are turning with Shreyas Iyer taking over. And with Ricky Ponting in their dressing room, you would expect, you know, them to get over that mental hurdle. But another factor that I feel has gone wrong with them is, is again, collective loss of form. So the problems start at top. Prithvi Shaw hasn't fired in a while. Shikhar Dhawan, after his centuries, has scored a couple of ducks. And then thereafter, there's not much batting. You see Shreyas Iyer not being able to accelerate. I don't know what's wrong with Hetmyer. And then when it comes to bowling, suddenly Rabada is going for runs, Sakshar Patel is going for runs. So it's problems everywhere for them.
Yeah, it was last season that they qualified for the playoffs after a long time. And as you said, obviously, there is a collective failure there. I mean, a lot of batsmen, I mean, Shikhar Dhawan was getting them those crucial runs, and suddenly from last two matches, he has had two consecutive ducks also. Banerjee, if I can bring you in here, I mean, Shantanu pointed out how a lot of players together are not performing. But I want to cite one example. So one of the matches that they lost was against SRH in a game where they were chasing 220. And in that game, in particular, what Ricky Ponting or the management did was that they sent Hetmyer and Stoinis ahead of Iyer and Pant. Do you think it's just not a collective failure of the players, but somewhere the management is also a little confused? Now they are out of the ideas. They're just now throwing the dice, like let's say with closed eyes. They're just thinking something would click for them, and they probably are now like have their back against the wall and have very limited room to wriggle. I mean, almost aisa lag raha hai jaise ki ideas bhi nahi hain aur करे भी क्या मतलब सिर्फ प्लेयर्स का एक कलेक्टिव फेलियर ही नहीं है लेकिन मैनेजमेंट भी कॉन्फिडेंस लॉस कर चुका है और उस कारण से शायद प्लेयर्स भी कॉन्फिडेंस लॉस कर चुके हो या तुम्हें कुछ और लगता है
वेल फर्स्टली आई विल स्टार्ट ऑफ बाय सेइंग दैट इट सीम्स एज इफ दिल्ली कैपिटल्स हैव चैनल्ड देयर इनर डेली डेयरडेविल्स इन द लास्ट 4 गेम्स यू नो यू आर स्टार्टिंग टू सी दीस दोस ओल्ड रिजल्ट्स ऑल ओवर अगेन द फैमिलियर लूजिंग द प्लॉट फ्रॉम you know, losing the plot throughout the game, never being able to enforce the momentum. And jahan baat kar rahe the aap SRH match ki, so yeah, I mean, they did send Marcus Stoinis and Shimron Hetmyer up the order. And I think one of the reasons why was because Stoinis and Hetmyer in particular were pretty aggressive with their approach with the bat. In the first, like if you notice the first 7 games, like the first 9 games, so these guys were really aggressive. They had a strike rate of around in the 140s or so. And they felt that Pant and Shreyas Iyer somehow weren't able to, like they had the partnerships coming along, but weren't able to kind of keep the run required run rate under check. They got the partnerships along, but they couldn't, you know, keep the asking rate under check. So maybe they thought that for a big total like this, maybe if we could get some quick runs on board up front, it's just an experiment that didn't click on the day. And let's not forget, so Marcus Stoinis and Shimron Hetmyer hadn't been batting in the slots for a very long time.
and suddenly you send these guys into bat at 3 and 4 with a total like 220. So, I mean, the nerves are bound to get the better of you. And don't forget, Shikhar Dhawan got dismissed for a golden duck in that match. Rahane couldn't do much as such. So, yeah, they crumbled under scoreboard pressure. They crumbled to a 88-run defeat in that game that kept SRH's campaign alive and a big boost to their net run rate as well. Yeah, I mean, so a lot of problems happening for Delhi Capitals as of now. They'll be fighting for the second spot with in the next game against RCB. And one of the focus will be on both Pant and Iyer, as well as the famed South African bowling attack. So starting with Pant and Iyer, yeah, they have to accelerate in the middle overs. They're somehow not able to find the rhythm from what we've seen so far. I was watching the SRH game the other day, and they were settling along nicely, but you've got to accelerate at some point, take the risks every now and then, take calculated risks. These guys weren't able to do that. And let's not forget, Iyer and Pant have been integral to the team's revival in the last couple of years. And these guys were seen as the core of the new team that was evolving into a competitive side, the one that made it to the playoffs for the first time in 7-8 years last year. And yeah, I mean, not only the top order, but these two have to click for them to beat RCB and sort of go for the second spot. There are questions over Prithvi Shaw as well. Like, after so many failures, I don't know if Ponting and the team management will be keen on retaining him. But let's see. Shikhar Dhawan has blown hot and cold. Scored two centuries, back-to-back centuries, and also registered a couple of ducks. I think we've never seen that before in any of the editions where a player scores back-to-back tons and also registers back-to-back ducks. So it's been that kind of a season for him. They'll be hoping he comes good against RCB later on Monday. And yeah, a big game for the Pacers as well. They've sort of lost their touch in the last four games. And let's not forget, this Delhi attack is one of the primary reasons why they had been flourishing in the first half of the season. 7 wins in 9 games. And you look at the way Rabada and Nokia breathed fire and, tore the opposition batting lineups apart with their raw pace and their accuracy. So they've somewhat lost their way out in the last few games. They have to come good if these guys are to beat Virat Kohli and company. So yeah, that's how Delhi needs to. Those are the things that Delhi needs to keep in mind going into the next match.
Yeah. We would come to the detailed preview of the match in a while. Shantanu, I would come back to you. एक तो हमने बात करी है कि हाँ collective failure हुआ है, लेकिन Hetmyer जो है वो 2020 auction में ही Delhi में आए हैं. Stoinis भी I think 2020 auction में आया. He was in RCB. मैंने भी ये पहले भी एपिसोड्स में बोला है. Stoinis scored some 700 runs as an opener in Big Bash, and Hetmyer also did very well in the CPL, but he was batting I think at number 3 or number 4. So in that 220 chase, although they were sent at number 3 and number 4, that was once in a blue thing for them suddenly in this IPL, and they failed on that day. But their general batting positions, at least in the franchisee cricket league, have been number 3 and 4, where they have been where they have fared pretty well. What I'm trying to point out here is that DC definitely got Stoinis and Hetmyer for this edition. When they knew that Pant and Iyer are going to be their number 3, number 4, that means DC acquired them as finishers. Maybe the purchasing in the auction wasn't right from it wasn't right from the word go. I mean, they could have probably went for better finishers. I mean, Alex Carey they have, Kimo Paul they have, but those are not really big name finishers or reliable players. I mean, with due respect to them, as the ones that you want. I mean, I'm not saying that getting a big name player would assure you performance on the pitch. Also, we have seen how Maxwell have fared for KXIP, but there is always a better chance with a big name player when you are investing that kind of money that they have invested in Stoinis and Hetmeyer. So do you see that as an issue? So we may be going ahead of time, but maybe next auction again DC would probably look to sort out that issue, that if your middle order is already set, there's no point getting middle order batsmen to play in lower order. What do you say, Shantanu?
Well, I would not blame them that much, because see, when you pick quality players, you expect them to perform in every position, especially these top order batsmen. You expect them to come good in middle overs and vice versa. See, if you play them in top order, then where do you play Shikhar Dhawan? Where do you play Prithvi Shaw? Because Dhawan, you know, with SRH, he had this opening slot, even with Delhi Daredevils, where he started his IPL career. Again, he held the opening slot. He has been an opener through and through, and you know, and if you look at his game, it's more of an inning building kind of a profile. So for him to come down and, you know, to disturb that position, I don't think that would be a wise decision. But yes, in few matches, I think they could have sent one of these two batsmen up the order, or maybe keep Pant at number 6 and send Hetmeyer at number 4 or things like that. But I mean, when a player goes through a form slump like Hetmeyer has, I think he has had one short innings where he hit 2 or 3 sixes. I'm just forgetting the match, but I remember him hitting out in one of those matches, and that was it. And that is the only game here where he scored something. More than blaming his batting position, I would put the blame on his form and his temperament. And sadly for them, they don't have a replacement. So Hetmeyer, just when he was looking to get into some kind of rhythm, he had to make way because Alex Carey had to come in. Rishabh Pant sustained an injury, so that is unfortunate for them. And ever since Pant had returned, his form has his form is nowhere to be seen. Before his injury, it was not as if he was in some roaring form. And it concerns me because when the Australia tour starts, two guys in this Delhi touring party are part of the test team. There's Prithvi Shaw and Rishabh Pant are part of the test squad, and both of them are out of form, out of shape. And Prithvi Shaw, I'm not sure what is there an instruction, because he is a very correct batsman, and for him to go to play across the line in all these matches and get out for single digit scores, and then to have Rishabh Pant just trying to hit so hard and losing his shape all the time, committing the same mistakes. I mean Delhi Capitals ka to jo hai wo hai, but Indian team ka, when they'll be touring Australia, when they'll be playing test matches, that is a bigger concern, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, that has been the phenomenon with DC, hasn't it been? I mean, at least for those last 4 games that they have lost. I mean, it's like nobody is stepping up to take that responsibility. Almost everybody is failing together. But let's shift our focus to RCB. I mean, DC have lost their last 4 matches. RCB also have lost their last 3 matches against Chennai Super Kings, Mumbai Indians, and Sunrisers Hyderabad. So, Amit, why do you think this slump, this form slump, has actually happened for RCB? And in addition to that, how big a factor behind this do you think is Kohli's strike rate, which I saw today, and I was surprised that is only 122. I mean, his career IPL strike rate is 130, but there have been seasons when he has batted for 140 and above whenever he is in great form. But we have seen a couple of innings when he hasn't really been himself. I remember that game against, I forgot SRH or which one, where he got a 50, but out of 43 balls or something like that, eventually they made 150 and then it was chased down by the opposition team. So how big a factor do you think that is?
Well, so the knock that you're talking about, 50 or 43 balls, that was the match against CSK, the one which Chennai chased down rather easily with
more
than an over to spare. Yeah, so that was one of the games. And it's not the first time we've seen such a knock from Kohli where he's not able to, you know, accelerate in the middle overs, whether it's the conditions or whether it's the lack of support from the other end. De Villiers also got a handy knock in that game. He scored some 39. But there was, no contribution of note from anyone else. And that, I think, where the slump, sort of the temporary slump, if you'd say, kind of started for the Royal Challengers Bangalore and led to a three-match losing streak. I was, in the last game, I was hearing the listening to the commentary, and I think someone mentioned how much of a key role Kohli and De Villiers have played in this campaign so far, wherein every time RCB, like, there's probably just one game where RCB have won and these two haven't contributed. So, yeah, I mean, you have the likes of Devdutt Padikkal coming up. You have a very promising young opener in Josh Philippe. But I still think somewhere down the line, these guys are quite dependent on Kohli and De Villiers in the middle overs or in the power play if they lose an early wicket or two to kind of start attacking the opposition bowlers in the middle phase and set the foundation for a total that can and then be defended by their attack. And in the last game also, I mean, in the last game against SRH, neither De Villiers nor Kohli could make much of an impact. Kohli was just faced seven deliveries and was starting to somewhat get settled at the crease, and then he drives straight into the hands of Kane Williamson standing at extra cover, and that was the seventh time he got dismissed by Sandeep Sharma. De Villiers also tried to, I mean, he got dropped on four by Shahbaz Nadeem, but Nadeem made up for it later and he was dismissed for 24. So, I mean, last three games, I think the common pattern has been the fact that the RCB batting unit has not been able to click as such. Even in the Mumbai game, we see that Padikkal scored a healthy 74 of 45 balls. Superb knock by this youngster. But 164 again, even Kohli said that 164, maybe they were 20 runs short on that particular day. For a famed batting lineup like Bangalore's, I mean, you have such superstars and experienced campaigners where you have promising young openers at the top. You have Kohli and De Villiers, possibly the best number three and number four across teams in this entire tournament. And then you have hitters down the order like Morris and Sundar. So as far as I'm concerned, there really shouldn't be much of a problem for them to get competitive totals, get to the 180s, the 190s, whatever it may be. But somehow they haven't been able to. I think it's also probably the loss of an early wicket or two every now and then, which might have, halted their run rate. But yeah, not clicking as a unit, not getting the quick runs on board, failing to exert the pressure on the opposition has been a key takeaway in the last three games. And I'm sure they'll be looking forward to overcoming that factor in the next one.
Yeah, I clearly remember RCB's match at Sharjah against KKR, which AVD won them single-handedly. And then the next match they played against Rajasthan Royals, AVD won them that match single-handedly. And then there is a game that they won in Super Over. So it clearly shows how much of an inconsistency has been there in that team about collectively not clicking, in the sense AVD has been winning them with some inspiring performances, or Siraj maybe in that one match against KKR taking that three wickets. But they have to fire, at least especially the batting, especially the batting has to, I mean, it's not just about reaching the playoffs, but doing well in the playoffs. I mean, that has been the story of RCB, hasn't it been? Not going to the playoffs, not doing well in the IPL, even with the famed players like Kohli and AB de Villiers. But coming to you, Shantanu, Amit obviously pointed out of their batting not stepping up. I mean, the other batsmen apart from Kohli and de Villiers on occasions. I talked about Delhi doing a lot of things. I mean, thinking out of box, sending Stoinis and Hetmyer ahead of Pant and Iyer in one of the games. Do you think RCB have been guilty of not doing enough, or maybe some of the decision making have been very poor? In the sense, what I'm trying to point out here is that the last match they won, I mean, they have been on a 3-match losing streak, but the last match they won before that 3-match losing streak began was against KKR, in the match in which Shiraj bowled with the new ball, got 3 wickets in the game. But in these last 3 matches, he hasn't bowled with the new ball. He has played those games. He has played in those games, but he hasn't bowled with the new ball. And then I think the last match when they lost wickets early, we saw Gurkirat Mann struggling not to get runs as quickly as they would have liked, and not getting enough runs on the scoreboard. I mean, why hasn't Parthiv Patel played? Parthiv Patel, I'm sure, is good enough to play there, or maybe can fit in there at the top of the order, and somebody can drop down just to make the team a little more competitive. What are your thoughts?
I agree. And you know, before I start making a point, I mean, I must say that I'm not too impressed with Virat's captaincy either. And I've never been a fan of his T20 captaincy to begin with. But, you know, and my points are very simple. You know, if Siraj is good enough to be picked as a in the test team, I don't know why is he not getting the new ball. Because when you pick somebody, a fast bowler for a test squad, you know that he has the potential to swing the ball. He has the potential to, as they say, pitch the ball in the right areas, the test match length. And in T20s, he has been far too much guilty of bowling on those test match lengths, which is why his economy rate is that high. But when he is bowling under lights, or when he's given the new ball, he has shown that he can swing the ball. And that one match you are talking about, that is when, you rightly said that is the one where he shared the new ball. So it beats me why he has not been getting that. And secondly, this chopping and changing. Aaron Finch started as one of their openers, and they gave him a long run, about 7-8 matches. And then Beach May, I think there was some injury concerns, and Philip came in. And now suddenly they've got rid of him and they just replaced him with Philip. 7-8 match khelne ke baad, when you are disturbing your top order, I don't know if that is a real. I mean, it reeks of panic more than anything else. And then, of course, there is Amit and you discussed. There's this issue of strike rate of Virat Kohli, and even Devdutt Padikkal. He has scored more than 400 runs, but his and Kohli's strike rate is pretty much the same. Kohli's is 122, and Padikkal's I think is about 125, 127. So when two batsmen in your top three are going at less than 130, that will invariably put a lot of pressure on a middle order. And especially if the number four batsman is coming at the halfway stage, so he is expected to start hitting out from over number 12 or 13, which de Villiers has pulled off on a few occasions. But there have been occasions where he hasn't, you know, he hasn't managed to do that. And RCB have just sunk in those matches. So this is, I remember Banerjee ne point bola tha, Delhi Capitals playing like Delhi Daredevils. So RCB have started to play like RCB of old. It's like they are suddenly panicking. They haven't been in top four since I don't know how long. So unko samajh mein nahi aa raha hai ki kya karna hai. Matlab, and Gurkirat Mann, I don't know why do they play him. Because he hardly gets to bat, doesn't ball, occasionally fielding kar leta hai. But uska kya role hai, I don't understand. Because he is a pretty decent batsman. He's not getting any run. And then Parthiv Patel is a fine option. But I think Kohli would be, these matchups and left-right combination at the top order, I think that is one of the reasons why they are not playing him. Because opening ke alawa uske liye koi jagah kahin pe aur banti nahi hai. And I am assuming that they want to go ahead with a left-right combination, which, I mean, again, speaks a bit about Kohli's captaincy. I don't know, because agar koi bhi nahi chal raha, you might as well try an Indian opener before replacing a foreign player. And that, you know, gives you an extra option to play an extra maybe foreign bowler. So, too many issues. And we have spoken about Delhi's slump. It's a bit like RCB's and Delhi's fortunes have gone hand in hand. Similar problems. Bowling, maybe if you look at their bowling, it's not firing. Batting, maybe we have seen the top order has been failing. Maybe RCB's top order has done slightly better, the openers. But nobody apart from De Villiers looks like delivering a match-winning performance.
Yeah, yeah, right. And also, not to forget Navdeep Saini, who has been their best bowler. He missed a match against Mumbai Indians, which they lost by 5 wickets. So that also compounded their problems. All things said, I mean, finally, it boils down to this match, doesn't it? DC versus RCB, the winner not only will be assured of a top two finish, I mean, and will also qualify for the playoffs. So we need to preview this game also. It will be played at Abu Dhabi. And it's a game where the team batting second has won in the last 3 or 4 matches, I guess. So, Amit, what do you think? I mean, is toss going to be everything in this match, or where do you think this match is going to be won and lost?
See, I think conditions somewhat have been playing their part in the last few games. Even Kohli acknowledged in the defeat against SRH how gripping the ball was becoming such a difficult task, especially for the spinners. And he even said that he was quite surprised by the amount of dew that was on offer in the evenings. He thought that the weather was suddenly getting pleasant and all of a sudden the temperatures are dropping and you have dew. It's getting tougher to defend scores. And so maybe toss will be a factor. You've seen in the last few games that captains are increasingly inclining towards bowling now. So the pattern has been such that earlier in the tournament, it was bowling as the preferred option. All of a sudden, captain started switching to batting first, and you had a few results going that way. Now it's gone back to bowling in the last few games. So yeah, I mean, that could be like if win the toss, I'm pretty sure that the captains will be inclined to bowl as has been the trend in the last few games. But other than that, yeah, I mean, let's see, like even despite the conditions, I think despite the dew and everything else, I still think that the Royal Challengers attack have fared comparatively better compared to, say, the Delhi Capitals, especially if you talk about the spinners, especially if you talk about Yuzvendra Chahal. Like, despite it being a little difficult for spinners in such conditions, Chahal has been bowling really well. He's been, quite wily, quite smart with his lines. A brilliant dismissal. It was a peach of a delivery to get, I believe it was the last game. I think it was, I don't remember who the batsman was, but he's been doing fairly well in the last few games. So he'll be one of the key bowlers to watch out for. And so as far as the toss is concerned, as far as the conditions are concerned, yeah, I mean, the dew is playing its part. So yeah, that surely will be a factor.
So should I say you think RCB would win or DC for you?
Oh, you're going into the prediction now.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest, I think DC still have the edge because all it takes for them is for the pace unit to click. Once that happens, my hunch is that once that happens, taming the RCB batting lineup won't be that much of a difficult task. So for me, I think I'll put my money on DC going into this match.
Shantanu, who do you pick? Which team will win and why?
Well, this is a tricky one, truly tricky one, because these are so evenly matched in terms of their weaknesses that it makes such a difficult choice. See, RCB have lost all their 3 matches after batting first. They lost to SRH by 5 wickets, MI by 5 wickets, and to CSK by 8 wickets. And it shows, that tells a lot. And Delhi, as we know, have been on a 4-match losing streak. So I would put my money on Delhi because I feel that, you know, they still have some quality. Their batsmen, the top order, middle order have occasionally fired. Each player invariably, has had a good game. If you look at RCB, it's either ABD or nobody, and Yuzvendra Chahal when it comes to bowling. And if you compare man-to-man bowling, obviously DC have an edge. Kagiso Rabada is still very much a threat. So is Nokia. And considering how Virat Kohli has struggled, I would not be surprised if Akshar Patel comes out as the trump card in the middle overs. So my money is on DC, but I would really be wary of hedging my bets on this one.
हमारे श्रोताओं को तो पता ही होगा कि मैंने कभी अग्री नहीं किया शांतनु से, तो आई एम गोइंग टू गिव अ डिफरेंट ओपिनियन. अग्री तो मैं वैसे करता हूं, लेकिन व्हेनेवर वी मेक द प्रेडिक्शंस, सो आई एम गिविंग अ डिफरेंट ओपिनियन. आई फील ऑन द पेपर आरसीबी आर द फेवरेट्स. आई मीन ऑब्वियसली द टीम विनिंग द टॉस वुड बिकम ऑटोमेटिकली द फेवरेट, बट राइट नाउ ऑन द पेपर आई फील, एंड व्हाई आई वुड से बिकॉज डीसी इट लुक्स लाइक they are just not able to get enough runs out of that batting lineup. और उस मामले में मुझे लग रहा है कि RCB थोड़े अच्छे पोजीशन में है, हो सकता है वो ज़्यादा रन निकाल सकते हैं DC से. And RCB की बॉलिंग DC से हो सकता है थोड़ी वीक हो, लेकिन उतनी भी नहीं है. तो मुझे ऐसा लग रहा है कि ये छोटे छोटे फैक्टर्स RCB को जिता सकते हो उस दिन. That's my opinion.
It's a really tricky one. Really tricky one.
It's actually very difficult to predict. Yeah. But we have another league game also, which is going to be the last league game, and that is Sunrisers Hyderabad versus Mumbai Indians. Mumbai Indians obviously don't have much to play for. They not only qualified, for the playoffs, they are also assured of a top two finish. But as we have seen with MI, they are a giant in IPL. They are not about qualifying for playoffs and all, but they want to win every match. They obviously want to qualify for playoffs, but they want to win every match. When they are, doesn't matter who they are playing. It's the brand MI that is about not losing to anyone and all. So SRH have their progress in their own hand. They have a very good net run rate. So if they win, they would go through easily, I think. Yeah, they have a positive net run rate. Considering that MI are already assured of a top two finish, Amit, should we consider that SRH would win, or do you think MI is not going to take this lightly? Are they going to rest any players? Last game, they rested Hardik Pandya and Patterson. Do you think they would rest some of the other players, or maybe do you expect them to put up a tough challenge?
See, they are already assured of a top spot, regardless of the outcome of this particular match. So whether they win, whether they lose, they'll still finish on top of the points table. They'll finish number one. That'll be a great takeaway for them as it is. So I think that leaves some room for them to experiment around. I don't know if they'll be inclined to do that or not, because they've had a winning formula going along so far. They've been one team who have sort of backed their players quite extensively, haven't really done too much chopping and changing as far as I've observed. Have mostly stuck to and backed their players throughout. And I think that's the kind of culture that they've created over the years that's made them the winning side that they are right now. But having said that, I mean, with a game that's with the tournament already pretty much in their grasp right now, maybe they could bring in a couple of changes. I don't know if they'll be inclined to try out someone like Chris Lynn on top of the order. I don't know, because again, like Chris Lynn is also a very exciting prospect with the bat. Maybe he could come in and get a game. There are a couple of others as well. Rohit Sharma though is out for a while longer as it is. So yeah, I mean that card is out for now for a while. They, as far as the bowling attack is concerned, maybe they could give the pacers a break, or the main pacers, We're talking about folks like Bumrah. We're talking about folks like Bolt. Maybe they could give one of them a break for a game and try out someone like a McLennigan who's been sitting in the bench all along. So let's see. I mean, some room for experimentation is what I think they'll be inclined to going into this particular match. The pressure is not really on them as such.
Yeah, obviously the pressure is not on them, but I have a feeling that they are going to resist the temptation because sometimes taking an unnecessary break can also harm your rhythm, and they would want their players to feel, I mean, to have that feeling of winning and to continue that winning momentum so that they take that into the playoffs and the players don't get complacent by just taking a break here and there. Shantanu, do you have a different opinion than what Amit said, or do you think it would be somewhat easier for SRH in this match?
If we have seen Mumbai, and if you followed Mumbai Indians' campaign this season, I would like to believe that they are going to be ruthless. I mean, they say winning is a habit, and Mumbai have had a hang of that habit, and they are not going to make things any easier by arresting any of the key players. And more so because this is now the business end of the tournament, it makes really no sense to rest their players. Maybe, I mean, there were reports of Rohit Sharma maybe coming back. I'm not sure about his injury or stuff. But even if he doesn't come back, they have a very settled opening order. Two lefties, Virat Kohli. Two lefties opening the innings and doing rather well. And then they have a look at the depth in their batting order. Really no room. A player like Chris Lynn has sat out throughout the season. It speaks a lot about their depth. And even in bowling, these guys have had too much of rest in the past 6 months. So I'm sure they would be raring to go, especially the faster bowlers for whom rhythm is, we have seen how Bumrah was sort of struggling at the beginning of the tournament. And now when he is on a roll, he's taking wickets. I don't think he'll be willing to, put his feet up just yet. So for me, Mumbai Indians start favorites, but yes, SRH, if there is one team at this stage that can challenge them, it's going to be SRH, because they are such a well-rounded unit. And I'm sure we'll discuss SRH as we go along. To answer your question, I don't think Mumbai Indians are going to make it any easier for them.
Yeah, so, if you have to predict a winner, who would you pick?
Since I have always backed the underdog, I became a fan of Kings 11 over the past 5-6 matches. I would like to back SRH here, because just the underdog factor, just the way they have made a comeback. And if you look at the team balance overall, when they play well, they look such a difficult team to beat. The top order, Bairstow goes out and Vridhiman Saha comes in and he starts firing straight away. So that gives them a lot of depth in the batting order. We have had one game where Manish Pandey and Vijay Shankar have fired, and Pandey has been scoring. I mean, he has held the number three position now, which is something that he has really yearned for all these years, and it's finally there, and he's making the best use he can. Maybe strike rate could be an issue, but yeah, that can be worked on. But at least they have a settled top three. Then Vijay Shankar to follow. And if you look at the bowling, Natarajan has been a revelation. And in the absence of Bhuvneshwar Kumar, Sandeep Sharma has really stepped up. Then comes Rashid Khan. So you have a four-over bank where he's going to pick one or two wickets without giving too many runs, not more than 20, 25 runs. So when they are on a roll, when they start winning, they look such a difficult team to beat and such a complete, well-rounded team. So that's why I said, if there is one team that can challenge them on current form, it's probably SRH.
Yeah, you spoke about how they are a very well-rounded side. I think the addition of Jason Holder has also added to
Absolutely.
Them becoming a much better unit than they were. I mean, he's taking wickets. He can also give you some economical overs. Then we saw it in the last game. He can come and start hitting and get you some quick runs also. So, yeah, so.
And don't forget Shahbaz Nadeem, you know, with the pitches and all slowing in. And if they really have to play an extra spinner, he is a very crafty left-arm spinner. So, and a very experienced one as well at the domestic level. You, all of us know that. So, even the reserves, whoever has come in, be it Saha, be it Nadeem, be it Jason Holder, I mean, they have really done well. And if you look at the campaign, Mitch Marsh went away so early, so, and Bhuvneshwar Kumar followed. So, they have not had any easy time, and probably this is their time to shine into the sun.
Yeah. Amit, for you, what would be the prediction?
Again, Sunrisers are a very good unit. They certainly have most of the bases covered. Top order. You see how beautifully Saha has, you know, taken to the role of an opener like Dr. Water. You see how Jason Holder is doing the all-round, nailing the all-rounders role. In the last couple of games, he finished the match against RCB. You have a world-class spinner in Rashid Khan, and he has ideal support from Shahbaz Nadeem, Warner, Best, or you name them. They have it all. But Mumbai Indians are a different beast right now, to be very honest. We saw in the game against Kings XI Punjab, they got off to a terrific start, chasing just 120 odd to win. David Warner, Best, or these guys got them off to a very good start. It took was a couple of wickets in the middle overs for them to completely lose the plot and fall short by 12 runs. And that's something that you witness in champion teams across sport, especially in the sport, that they don't give you the room to wriggle out. I mean, you make a mistake or two, they know where to tighten the stranglehold. And as far as I've seen, Mumbai Indians have done that for the most part. There has been an occasional blip or two. They lost the opening game. Of course, they lost to Royal Challengers Bangalore. They've lost to Rajasthan Royals by 8 wickets, which was quite surprising. It was down to Stokes' brilliance. And there were a couple of games which went down to the wire in the super over. But otherwise, I don't see Mumbai Indians really allowing, if you were to ask for a prediction, I'd still say Mumbai Indians going into this game.
Yeah, even I have the same opinion. I think it is going to be some sort of a anti-climax. I mean, we all love the story of an underdog beating the Goliath, but it seems like Mumbai Indians are in no mood to give away any points to anyone. They look very greedy this season. And that takes me to another topic, which is again about Mumbai Indians. I have to make a correction. Obviously, I said that they are assured of a top two finish, but as Amit pointed out, yes, they are assured of the top finish. They're going to be the table toppers. And they have been ruthless. I mean, there was a point in the middle, early part of the season where they looked a little bit there was some uncertainty around the team. DC were in top form, but they have bounced back very well from there, and since then they have been winning almost every match apart from that Ben Stokes brilliance, that game that they lost against Rajasthan Royals. And it's not just the story of this season, it's been the story of Mumbai Indians throughout this IPL, and they have always been the best side. They have 5 titles, obviously, so the only team to win 5 titles. But they are like what you see in, let's say, if I can cite the example of football, teams like Barcelona, Real Madrid, or maybe in other sports, Los Angeles Lakers, they won the NBA title this year after a decade or so. But in their earlier time, I'm saying teams which have had a long legacy, they have certain things common in the way they are made. I mean, they have a certain consistency with the players. They keep the core. They keep, the decisions that they make, the way they back their players. And somehow they always get the right picks also. Somehow they make always the right decisions to buy players. I would come to you, Shantanu. I mean, talking about MI, what really makes them such a dominating IPL side. You can talk about what have made them the table topper this season. You can also look in their past also.
See, there are a lot of tangibles and intangibles that go in making of a champion team. You pointed out the examples of Barcelona, teams like Real Madrid, Galacticos, teams like LA Lakers, teams like All Blacks. One thing is common, that they invest in building a core. And once they identify the core, they stick to it. So, and we have seen the same with CSK. They had the core, they had that performed so well for them all these years. And perhaps all of them aged together, and maybe Mumbai Indians, as they go along, can take a lesson or two from that. But, you know, that is a side note. Coming back to the point, what has worked really well for Mumbai Indians is A, their core, and B, the consistency. Like I said, you know, winning is a habit, and which is something that they have got a real hang of. So I don't really remember, barring that Stokes game, there has really been a weak performance from them. And even that Stokes game was down to one man's brilliance. So you are allowed to have that kind of a game. And if you talk about this season, and I was just going through the bowlers, top 10 bowlers, they are the only team that have three bowlers in their top 10. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, bowlers win you championships. So beat any format of the game, T20s, Test cricket, ODIs, whatever, bowlers will win you championships. And Jasprit Bumrah right up there, number one. Then they have Rahul Chahar at number 10. And somewhere in between, they have Trent Bolt right there in between, number five. And then if you come back to their batting department, Rohit Sharma goes out due to injury. Ishan Kishan steps up and he starts, you know, blasting the attack in the power play overs. Strike rate of close to 150. Quinton de Kock again, 145 strike rate. Then Surya Kumar to follow, I think a very underrated cricketer, perhaps not anymore. But yeah, perhaps the cricketer who should be on the flight to Australia, missing out. So, you know, if you have players of that caliber, that quality, and even with Rohit Sharma sitting out, you don't really see them struggling for leadership. Kyron Pollard is an experienced campaigner. He's coming off from a very good CPL. So he's there. Then the Pandya brothers. Really, really no chink in the armor. And to top it all, Rohit's captaincy has been phenomenal. I think he doesn't get as much credit for his captaincy as he should. His batting and his fitness takes a lot of space when we talk about Rohit Sharma. Rohit Sharma, the captain, has really grown through these IPL seasons ever since they won the first title. It was a very difficult season for them. He took over in the middle of the season and won them the title. So, speaks a lot about the character of the man. And he sits out, Pollard takes the reins. And it's as if Rohit is captaining the side. You don't really see anything much different. You don't really see Pollard doing his own thing, or perhaps that is his own thing. They have devised a formula and they are sticking by it. And I was going through a stat that said 13 players have taken the field for them. Through all these 13, 14, yeah, they have played 13 matches and they have not used more than 13 players. So, I mean, that is there. So they have identified the core, they have stuck by it, and the core has done really well for them.
Yeah, as Shantanu pointed out, they have a very strong core. I mean, Rohit Sharma got injured, but then Kishan was promoted to the top of the order, and he has, he appears to be very comfortable. I mean, he loves no opening in any case, but he looks completely comfortable in that position. They have been very good in middle order also. Their batting have been very good as well. Their bowling, their power play bowling also have been really good. Bumrah in death, Bolt in power play. It is a unit which is the closest that you can get to the perfection, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me begin by saying that IPL in its 12 years of existence, there are only a couple of teams which actually you can say have a legacy as such. It's MI and CSK. And you can see that in the number of titles that they have. Mumbai Indians are 4, Chennai are 3, and the Mumbai Indians CSK rivalry is called the El Clasico of the IPL. So that's the kind of impact that Mumbai Indians have had on this tournament since their inception. And mind you, after a couple of rough years, they finished somewhere in the sixth spot in 2008. 2009 was probably their worst campaign ever. And then things started turning around from 2010 onwards, and then took off on another level under Rohit Sharma's captaincy. So, yeah, I mean, as Shantanu was mentioning earlier, I think one of the key, there are two key aspects that are common across teams that are successful in sport, one of which is, in team sport rather, one of which is retaining your core group of players, and be strong leadership. You saw a similar culture in the Australian team of the late 90s. They are stuck to their core group of players. You had brilliant captains. And that's, I don't mean to directly compare the two sides, but you see something similar happening with Mumbai Indians over the years. They've backed the players they bought way back in like 10 years ago. You talk about Malinga, you talk about Pollard, you talk about the Pandya brothers, and they've all clicked over the years. I mean, and then, of course, the point of them backing their players this season. So, yeah, I mean, not too much chopping, not too many changes made to their playing 11s. They've stuck to the winning formula. They've discovered the winning formula quite early, especially in that run. They lost two of their first three games, I believe, and then they went on a four or five match winning run. And since then, they've hardly looked back. And talking about the batting order, I think the highlight for me this season in particular has been young Ishan Kishan at the top. So coming in place of Rohit when Rohit's injured himself. And even in the chances that he got earlier in the tournament, you've seen how, the kind of excitement, the energy that he brought with himself to the crease. The one thing that I've noticed is how the kind of understanding that De Kock and Kishan have when they walk out to open. So one of the, like, they have no problem switching in the role of the aggressor. So one guy plays the aggressor and the other guy sort of dons the anchor's role. And there's no problem. These guys seem to seamlessly switch between those roles every now and then. So you've seen a lot of good starts for Mumbai Indians across these games. Let's not forget Ishan's brilliance on the field as well. Just took a couple of stunning catches in the outfield, diving catches. So his contribution with the field has been outstanding as well. Who knows, he could probably bowl a couple of handy overs and get a breakthrough or two as well. And then, of course, you have Surya Kumar Yadav. I believe he's somewhere in the hovering close to the top 10. He's 15th right now. Kishan is 12. Quinton de Kock is 9th. Again, a brilliant batsman who is starting to get his recognition this particular season, especially with the way he chased down the target. Not so difficult target, but nevertheless, they found themselves in pressure at one point, and the way he handled it and just anchored the chase till the last ball, along with his glorious selection of shots. I mean, Shastri tweeted later on the following day saying that just stay on, just hold on to it, you'll get your chance eventually, something along those lines. And then you have the middle order. I think the middle order is what has set Mumbai apart from the other teams. The solid middle order that has been the bulwark of their batting performances in the last few games. So Quinton de Kock a couple of days ago said he hardly needs to worry with this middle order around. But still, as a batsman, he would like to take his role seriously and get the team off to a good start. So these guys, the top three, have the cushion of some hard-hitting batsmen down the order, Pollard, the Pandya brothers. You look at how Hardik Pandya walks out to bat with just four overs left and smashes some 60 runs off 20 balls. So, as a batsman, they can just... gives a lot of freedom to the batsmen at the top of the order. Yeah, so the batting order by far to me is probably the most settled. And yeah, you have the bowlers. We've already spoken about how Bumrah has won matches for them in the death overs, how Bolt with his early breakthroughs, getting the ball to nip back in every now and then, Pattinson and Colton Isle have impressed every now and then. Cheher has been wily in the middle overs. So yeah, a lot of positives for them. And yeah, I mean, I think at the end of it, what matters is that you'll see a lot of these players continue over the years as well. So these guys have a mantra of retaining their players, retaining the core. You'll see Ishan Kishan be part of that core sooner or later, as some of the likes of Pollard and all grow older. So yeah, I mean, they have a wonderful culture in place and should carry on. There'll be more titles to come in the future.
Yeah, just to add, and this is not just for this season, I think some of the talent spotting by Mumbai has also been, I mean, tremendous. And that shows the top quality work that goes behind the scenes. And by talent spotting, I mean players like Bumrah, Pandya brothers, Surya Kumar there in the middle order. I mean, they have got these players at the right time and have backed them, whether they have performed good on a consistent level or not. Mostly they have been good only. And also somebody like Rahul Chahar, I mean, at the beginning of the IPL T20, I thought that they are probably a little weak in the spin department. They could have probably gone for another good leggy along with Rahul Chahar. But they never tried. I mean, it's not only about this season, but the earlier also, they never tried to go for, let's say, Amit Mishra, Piyush Chawla, the guys who are established IPL names, or let's say Yuzvendra Chahal. They were happy with Rahul Chahar, and Rahul Chahar has also shown why Mumbai has so much faith in him. So yeah, I think overall, with the backroom staff, with the scouting, with the management, captaincy, the co, there are a lot of good things about Mumbai Indians, which, as Amit said, makes them that legacy franchisee that they are. I mean, the sort of legacy that they have built already. And talking about legacy, there's CSK also, a team which has a huge legacy in this short history of IPL. And for the first time, CSK obviously are not going to the playoffs, but they have finished their campaign on a decent note. 12 points, 6 wins, and 3 of them have come after they were eliminated from IPL 2020. And Ruturaj Gaikwad made a half century in all those 3 games. I mean, the same guy who looked completely out of place in the earlier matches whenever he got an opportunity. So, Shantanu, somewhat good end to a disastrous season for Chennai and MS Dhoni. And not to forget, Dhoni also confirmed that he's going to play the next season. So, something with which Chennai fans would be happy in the end?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Chennai fans are known to go overboard at times, and with this two magic words definitely not ringing well tonight, I'm sure they have a lot to celebrate. And also because of the fact that quite a few youngsters have shown some promise. Sam Curran has been a positive. Ruturaj Gaikwad, you rightly pointed out, is one. And Ravindra Jadeja, settling into a finisher kind of a role, is another, because we know Dhoni is no longer the finisher he used to be, and it's been a while that he has stopped finishing matches successfully for either the franchisee or for the Indian team. So obviously they needed somebody to step up, and I was happy to see Jadeja doing it repeatedly for them in winning and losing causes. But he's somebody who has found this knack of hitting boundaries early and clearing the field. So yes, quite a few positives. And I would say that CSK have, despite finishing the season at number 7, and despite bowing out that early in the tournament, they have been game changers in their own right. You know, their last 3 wins have definitely upset the apple cart of a few teams. Yeah, they defeated Kings XI, they defeated KKR, RCB. All these teams that have, that are either in top 4 or were in contention of a top 4 berth, and they have beaten them with huge margins, 9 wickets, 6 wickets, 8 wickets. So at times you wonder, you know, where did they go wrong earlier in the tournament, and what if these performances had come earlier in the tournament? But, you know, like I always say, hindsight is a perfect vision. So that's there. But yeah, a lot of positives. I think as a journalist, the biggest positive for me is to hear Dhoni's explanation so frankly. I don't remember when was the last time when he came to the press conferences or post-match chats and, you know, said things that were not inane and, you know, really give kind of insights that he has this season round. So that's one. And if you look at from a fan's perspective, I think Rituraj Gaikwad has been a very, very positive, big positive to come out from the camp. I mean, I would have been happier had they given him more opportunities to Jagdeesan, because he is somebody who had been in their squad for a while. He got his first game in 2 years this season and couldn't do much. So I'm sure he has quality. That is the reason why he is there, sitting there in the CSK dressing room. So I would have been happier if he had got a few more opportunities, or had he made use of the opportunities that he did get. But I'm sure his time will come. Shane Watson is most likely to end his franchisee career with CSK. So that is there. So they will need one opener. And I'm not sure where Jagdeesan bats in the domestic cricket. But yes, they have Rituraj Gaikwad ready as an opener. And maybe he can partner Faf du Plessis or whoever chooses to open alongside him. And I'm sure Suresh Raina will come back at some stage. I mean, a slightly left field thought. I hope that, you know, Dhoni continues to play, but, you know, maybe a step down from his captaincy, try to groom a new leader, because I don't know how many years he has left in him. And I mean, his call, his franchise, his career. That is, I'm nobody to comment. But if he so chooses, that will only, you know, put him in a very generous, magnanimous light, just to, like he did with the Indian cricket team, you know, stepping aside and grooming Virat Kohli. Maybe he could step aside and groom somebody like Jadeja or Raina or whoever the franchisee chooses. So that is the thought that I had when Dhoni announced that he is going to continue. But apart from that, if you look at this season, I think they have been unfortunate also to begin with, because of the COVID cases that came up in their squad. Rituraj was one of those, and I think the seamer Deepak Chahar he contracted COVID, so that could have affected their recovery and could have affected their preparations. And then once the top guns started misfiring, players like Watson and others, when they were not getting big runs, it was always going to be tough. And right from the from couple of years back, when they were called Dad's Army and whatnot, we always knew that this core is not going to last more than 3 or 4 years, and this was the third year, so it had to fail at some stage, and so it has happened. So this was kind of inevitable. If I was in Dhoni's shoes, I would not be feeling too bad about it, though. It was 3 wins, ending the season on a high. It's okay. You have, the sun will rise again tomorrow, as they say. So, yeah, that's there.
Amit, I would like to bring you back and would want to talk with you a bit about the IPL 2020. What a great addition we have had. I mean, the playoffs are still pending. The final is still to take place. But even the league phase, I mean, it has been so closely contested. I don't think any other edition has been so closely contested. And KKR are going to finish at the bottom of the table, and they will have 12 points. I mean, this will be for the first time that that a bottom-placed team in IPL would end up with 12 points. Last season, RCB and RR, I think they finished 7th and 8th with 11 points. And in 2018, Delhi Daredevils finished with 10 points. But never ever has a bottom-placed team finished with 12 points. And that has shown
how competitive this season has been, and especially if you consider the circumstances that we are living in. I mean, in the pandemic and in UAE in a bio bubble. I mean, brilliant addition. Do you think the best ever?
Certainly the most unique. And yeah, if you talk about the competitiveness, how competitive this edition was, certainly up there. To begin with, yeah, I mean, this was an edition that almost never happened. But in the end, BCCI, and thanks to the support of the Emirates Cricket Board, they were able to host this at the UAE in Abu Dhabi, Sharjah and Dubai and make it happen. So, there have been certain changes over the years. They've been used to the noise at Wankhede, at Chepauk, at Chinnaswamy, at Kotla. So, they've obviously been missing that. And, yeah, you have the fan noise that has come in where the fake fan noise will cheer even for a single now. That's something that takes a while to get used to. And I'm hoping that this is the only addition. Talking about the competitiveness, yeah, I mean, I don't remember the last time a team won 6 games and found itself at the bottom of the table. And let's not forget, before this weekend, CSK were the only team that had bowed out. And every other side, I mean, CSK were out and Mumbai Indians had qualified. Everyone else was in and everyone could have also said a bid goodbye with a couple of bad games. It was that open. And still now, I mean, we're done with the final weekend doubleheader of the season. And you only have Mumbai Indians who have the queue against their name. Of course, the Royal Challengers, Bangalore and Delhi Capitals are expected to qualify. I mean, whoever wins that game will be second. But KKR are still in, Sunrisers are still in. So, yeah, I mean, and Kings 11 Punjab almost made it after losing 5 of the first 6 games. So, yeah, I mean, it's been outstanding, a lot of entertainment. We've had a few hiccups along the way as well. It was unfortunate with the passing of Dean Jones earlier in the tournament. But from the cricketing point of view, it was outstanding. I mean, when was the last time we had 2 super overs in one game? I mean, I don't think that's happened in cricket, right? It's been a season of super overs. It's been a season of nail biters. It's been a season of some incredible performances. You look at Siraj's spell from out of nowhere. He was a bowler who was, constantly poked fun at on social media as part of the so-called Dinda Bowling Academy. And he comes from out of nowhere and he snares those wickets in the power play. There's so many others. I mean, KL Rahul and Mayank Agarwal. Who would have thought that a batsman of Chris Gayle's caliber is being made to set out because you have 2 Indian openers who are doing so well. And you have similar stories across teams. Very competitive and one of the more thrilling seasons in my opinion. I mean, I'd like to take your opinion on this as well. Ujjwal and Chatnu.
Yeah, I mean, same for me. I don't think I have enjoyed any other editions league phase as much as I have in this season. And just to add to those wonderful stories, there's the story of Rahul Tewati also. So there have been a lot of great stories. Shantanu, for you, I mean, how great has been 2020, and are there other editions that stand out for you? I mean, when compared to 2020, or you're loving it?
I really like this one. See, as journalists, we are used to going through the motions, and there is typically a phase in every IPL that the quote unquote middle over phase where matches just go drag on and on, and you know, just stop caring who is winning, who is losing. It just becomes an academic interest. So, but this time, even the middle overs or the middle section of the tournament, the tables were constantly changing. And like all of us know, and Amit clearly pointed out, till yesterday, everybody apart from CSK was in contention of making it to the top 4. And we have never had that kind of a season. So yeah, that speaks a lot about competitiveness and about the standard of cricket in IPL and the growth of T20 cricket in general, the skill set of the players around the world. You see, this is happening because teams are also evenly matched. There is one team at the top that is head and shoulders perhaps above the rest, and there is one team at the bottom that has done worse. But if you look at the other six sides, there is very little to separate them in terms of skills, in terms of consistency. And, you know, if you look at the points table also, 2 points separating six teams. I don't know which other T20 league is that competitive. So, I mean, it's a bit cringeworthy when commentators and people just keep harping on the fact that it is the greatest T20 league in the world. But you can't deny that, you know, just look at the quality of cricket on offer. You spoke about Tevatia, you spoke about, you know, players like Indian players like Ishan Kishan, Mayank Agarwal, these guys getting their due, players like a traditional, test match mold of players, as they were called, guys like KL Rahul, guys like Mayank Agarwal coming at the top and doing so well. I've seen Chris Gayle batting with a lot more freedom. And enjoying his 99 the way he did, just throwing. I hope the bat slipped from his hand, but you know, it just showed that it still mattered to him even at 41. Doing well in the IPL still matters to him. Players like Mohammad Siraj, an auto rickshaw driver's son, doing so well. Players like Natarajan doing well. This is a fabulous platform, and must take nothing away from it, despite all the controversies, despite all the negatives that it comes with, inevitable negatives it comes with. So that is there, and like you said in your question, these have been unprecedented times, and sport is perhaps the least thought about subject in times like these, where bare survival, where just going about your normal business and life takes precedence over everything else. Look at India before this IPL started. Migrants walking home, people struggling for their jobs. And this is not to say that IPL has alleviated all of that, or people are not celebrating just because IPL is happening. No, but yes, for people like us, it has given a pleasant momentary distraction of sorts. We keep following the game, the depressing news of COVID and everything, of course, it's there and we feel for everybody. But yes, for 3 hours every night, it just takes, it's a happy distraction. And for all the transformative powers of a sport that people keep talking about, perhaps this is one small example of that. The kind of stuff these franchises have been doing on social media, the engaging stuff, all these innovation coming in with all the bio bubbles, with all these in stadia noise and everything, we will eventually see the sport viewership or the viewer experience change as we know it. So a lot of things to take home from, and in terms of cricket alone, surely one of the best IPLs I have seen, and perhaps I'll remember it for a while. The last IPL I remember a bit is I think 2017. And again, it is due to the recency factor. There were a few matches that I remember. There was this one partnership between Rishabh Pant and Sanju Samson, where people started talking about the future of Indian cricket and all those things. And it was a great partnership, I think a century partnership. And then there was one match where MS Dhoni took apart Akshar Patel. So I think that was 2017 only. See, because the matches come in they just keep happening day in and day out, and you start losing track of them. But this time it has kept us hooked, and perhaps that is the greatest indictment of the tournament.
Yeah, you couldn't have summed it up any better. Obviously, it has been a pleasant distraction, and the quality of the 2020 edition has been an added bonus. So that's it, guys. That's it for this episode. We would be coming to you more often now that we enter the final phase of the IPL. We have two league games still to go, and then obviously the playoffs and the final. As always, I would end by saying that the podcast would be available on Audio Boom, subsequently on Google Podcast, Spotify. Our Twitter handle is @FirstPostSports, so you can always give us your feedback. That's it. Two league, two highly anticipated of D games to go. So let's see who goes to the playoffs and who goes to the final after that. Thank you both of you for joining today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks,
it was.
Yeah.